We are doing a series of audio podcasts, about 10 minutes each. Since I had the time, I started looking at some of Ramesh's books and reading out what I underlined because I felt it was significant for me. And there was one book called Enlightened Living, in which Ramesh has referenced Ramakrishna Paramhans. And Ramakrishna says, so what if the world is strewn with thorns? Simply wear your sandals and walk over them. And your sandals are the knowledge that God alone exists. Your sandals are the knowledge that God alone exists, which means that nobody truly does anything. If one can accept that, then one is wearing these sandals. Sai Baba had mentioned to a devotee that if anyone upsets you and you think of that person, simply imagine my face over that person's face and then deal with him. Same thing. All there is consciousness. Now, it is a wonderful exercise in that sense, especially if there are people in your life that you don't really like. I would like to share a short story with the seekers of truth, which we all are here. Otherwise, we would not be here together right now. As Nisargadatta Maharaj would say that the people who were drawn to his satsangs had seen enough suffering and sorrow in their lives, and therefore they were drawn to him. Some see it very early in life because their destiny has been to be exposed to suffering early. For some, it is later. Who is more fortunate? Nobody can say. In my own experience, when I lost my father when I was 14, it seemed like such a tremendous calamity to me at that young age. It was extremely difficult. But I also saw, as I grew up, I was able to face life's challenges far more equanimously than I thought I could. On the other hand, I had a friend who experienced the first death in her family when she was 57. She had not known what death was prior to that. I think it's quite a unique situation. And I thought, oh, it must be so nice that you're not exposed to death. So you don't have that baggage of suffering and sorrow and sadness. And at such a ripe age, you are mature, you've understood life is transient, you can deal with it. But actually, it was the opposite. It was a shock. She went into depression and she suffered miserably for 2 years. That is the destiny. That is the blueprint. So, friends, I would like to share with you, since we are all seekers of truth, a very beautiful story in the Skanda Purana, which I had shared yesterday with the Portugal satsang which we had on Zoom. So there was this very generous and much loved king, and he told all the people in his kingdom, let's have a big mela, let's have a big fair. Whatever you want to sell, you bring to the fair, all of you. And if any product of yours does not get sold, we will buy it. The palace will buy it. I will buy it. So everyone was happy, joyful, and set up the marketplace. And they got various things, curios and provisions and everything you can think of. There was a man who was very simple-minded and didn't have much money. And he brought with him a statue of Saturn, Shani, to sell at the fair. And nobody bought it, because they thought, if we bring Saturn into our home, there will be tremendous misfortune and bad luck. So the guards went and told the king that your fair has been a huge success, but there is only one unsold item. It is a statue of Saturn. So what should we do? So the king replied that I have already given my word, so please go ahead, purchase that statue and bring it to me. So the guard said, are you sure? Because you are emperor, and if we bring Saturn to the palace, there will be a lot of misfortune. And he said, I am a man of my word. I am willing to bear the consequences. And so they brought the statue and kept it in the palace. And that night, the king had a peculiar sensation. He felt a being come out of his body, like a spirit. And she came out and looked at him. And he was surprised. He said, who are you? She said, I am Lakshmi. I'm the goddess of wealth and fortune. And I cannot be where Saturn is. So I'm leaving you. And she left. So the king was quite perplexed at this. And in 5 minutes, he felt another being leave his body, another spirit. And he said, who are you? And that spirit said, I am Vaibhav. I am glory. I cannot be where Saturn is, and so I am leaving you. All right, fair enough. And it happened again. And the next being said, I am Dharma, I am righteousness. I cannot be where Saturn is, I am leaving you. Then came out Daya, compassion. I cannot be where Saturn is, I am leaving you. And just when the king felt that whoever had to leave his body left his body, one last being came out and said, I am Satya, I am truth. And the king held on to his feet and started crying and said that I can understand if Lakshmi left me, if Dharma left me, if Vaibhav left me, but I have worshipped truth all my life. How can you leave me? And Satya was deeply moved and deeply touched. And he said, you are so right. I will stay with you. Let the others leave. Don't worry. I am here with you. And then what happened? One by one, Dharma returned, Daya returned, Vaibhav returned, and Lakshmi returned. So the king asked them, how come all of you have come back? And they all replied, whether or not Saturn is there, we will never leave the truth. I would like to now touch upon some questions which have come and answer them. And after that, we can open up the floor to questions if anyone has any. Would it be possible to touch upon the topic of suffering? For me, suffering has been connected with the experience which is entirely in the phenomenal realm. So peace would be more an absence of experience rather than absence of suffering. But since not all experiences cause suffering, peace could still be present even during various experiences. I can't seem to get my head around this. Even I can't around this question. And I think there's another version of the same question asked by the same person, referring to another teacher and what they said about suffering. You see, firstly, if we just keep all this aside, this is the human experience. This experience is in duality and there are polaric opposites of pleasure and pain. You cannot not have experiences. So what tends to happen is that we tend to overanalyze this in the light of the teaching of Advaita. The difference between the suffering of a sage and that of an ordinary person is very simple. The sage is involved in the suffering. Sorry, the ordinary person is involved in the suffering and the sage is not. Let's say the sage is a businessman and he suffers a huge loss in business. He accepts that as the result of God's will. He does not build a story around it, like, what did I do wrong? Why is God punishing me like this? I have not harmed anyone. And so the event is pure objective suffering in the moment. The ordinary person gets involved in the suffering and labels it as my suffering. The ordinary person circles back to the me, and I have done something on the basis of which I am suffering. Please understand that life is duality. Ramana Maharshi got cancer. Ramana Maharshi suffered cancer. But there was no story built around it. He used to laugh and call that boil on his arm a Svayambhu Lingam, self-manifested Lingam. But of course he suffered the pain. Anyone would suffer the pain. But there was no story built around that suffering. In fact, he was keen not to even get cured. It was his devotees who pushed him to take medication. So this is the realm of experiencing. You cannot be in a zone where you live your life without experiencing unless you go into Nirvikalp Samadhi, which is not going to happen in daily living. So we must be pragmatic. We must be able to understand what is being meant by these words. And we will see that what happens is when the me personalizes the suffering as me and my story of suffering, that is what causes an additional layer of psychological suffering over the original suffering in the moment. Even a sage can get hurt by the actions of someone, maybe someone from his or her family or devotee. Hurt is arising in the moment. But what is not happening for the sage is that he has not built a story around that hurt and blamed someone for that hurt, blamed his destiny for that hurt. That entire dialogue is finished for the sage, and he is very well open to what the next moment brings for him. That is the end of the suffering as far as the sage is concerned. That is what Ramakrishna has said. If you wear the sandals of the knowledge that God alone exists, all your finger pointing, all your blaming, condemnation, hatred, malice, jealousy, envy, and guilt and shame for yourself will end. It will fly out of the window, and what is left is peace and equanimity, accepting that destiny is destiny. What is meant to happen will happen, no matter how much I try to avoid it. And what is not meant to happen will not happen, no matter how hard I try for it. And these are the words of Ramana Maharshi. And therefore, Ramana Maharshi said, the best course is to be silent. Does the suffering arise in deep sleep? If someone says something hurtful to you and you're fast asleep in deep sleep, would you get hurt? In deep sleep, the ego with its sense of doership is absent. It is there in the waking state. That is the one that gets hurt. So it is about understanding. And I would like to suggest something because I see a lot of it happening. And I might have mentioned this in talks earlier on live stream, so please forgive me if that is so. But you see, what happens is on the internet, we are exposed to so many teachings, so many teachers, which is a good thing because it expands our horizon. But what tends to happen is that the intellect tends to pit one teaching against the other and say, oh, this person said this, what do you have to say about that, and so on. Now, there's no end to this process, because imagine in your school, let's say you have a class of physics. You have one teacher of physics. You don't have three teachers in physics who are assigned to you. You have one teacher of physics. So as Maharaj said, it is better to dig one deep well in one place than to dig many shallow wells all over the place. So what works is pick up that teaching which you feel you may or may not have understood clearly, but has touched you in the heart. And if you have not found that, then by all means explore, because like I said, expand your horizons. But now keep in mind that I must be able to distinguish which has really impacted me, if possible, so that I know now that there is a difference between this teaching and the others which I have been drawn to. Everything will happen as it is meant to happen, as it is destined to happen, but now you have a measure. And that is why Ramana Maharshi had said in his satsangs, when someone asked him that I am going to so many teachers and sages, how do I know that the sage is a sage? And Bhagwan replied, by the sense of peace that you feel, as well as the degree of respect that you feel for him. So that is the measure there. I'd like to take one or two more questions here before we begin. Questions which come early on in the seeking. Why did God create human beings? What was the purpose? The world is full of pain and suffering. Why create suffering? Did he do that because he likes drama? There is such a lovely innocence in this question, and this is the early stages of the seeking. And my teacher had a very simple answer. He said, can a painting ever know why its painter painted it? Can a created object know the will of the creator? So, it is not that one will get answers to the why questions, but the why questions start dissolving on their own. Because we think that God is an individual like us, and why did he do this? Why did he not do that? That is how we have put our own projection onto the concept of God. And it is not that God likes drama. It is the ego with its sense of doership that likes drama. And that also was made by God. Because where is the drama in deep sleep? Where has your drama gone in deep sleep? So the ego was created by God. And if it's God's will, the ego will be annihilated by God. And we all question God, why this lockdown, why this virus? Did we question God that for all our lives before the lockdown, why did you allow us to go to work? Why did you allow us to go to shopping malls? Why did you allow us to go to restaurants? Did we ask God that? Are we being fair? Why have you locked us up in our homes? You are one species. Why not ask all the other animals which are playing around in the cities if they have any problems? There are so many videos now of the animal kingdom emerging into quiet towns and cities. Are the other species complaining? That is how self-centered we are. Because we don't accept that life is duality of every conceivable kind. This is the first time the entire world has been impacted simultaneously. Usually there were wars between a few countries, the others were not concerned, and so on. This is the first time this has happened. Is this not sufficient enough to show us two things? A, how little is in our control, and B, how we are all truly connected. What more lessons do we need? If one tells people your breath is not in your control, yes, then they forget about it. Your heart pumping is not in your control, yes, forgotten. I am in control of my life. The thought that comes the next moment is not in your control. You are sitting right now, watching this live stream, thanks to the principle of gravity, which is not in your control. Your body is made up of 75% water, and you have yourself seen what the moon does to the high tide and the low tide in the sea. Your body is 75% water. The influence the moon has on the liquids in your body, the emotions which arise, the chemical balancing, not in your control. But all this we sweep under the carpet, and we think we are in control of our lives. And now we have been given another exercise in the lack of control. So we can...